Get ready for a shock, because I get wild.
Oh, I did not drink enough Red Bull for this.
Well, my end is more of a Baja Blast, but yeah.
Love that. Let's go.
Okay. Do you want to fucking Baja Blast us off?
Let's go. I don't know if this is the right podcast to do that, honestly.
No, we're going
to
Baja Blast anybody. We're going to have fun.
Everybody. Always ready to Baja Blast.
We already got Baja Blast right by her, so go for it.
Hello and welcome back to Cryptocurrents, where we interview and discuss the most interesting projects, people, and events happening in Web3. We're your hosts, Brett Lindstrom and Jack Vodka, the founders of Fish and Chips, a crypto and AI agency delivering compelling design, branding, messaging, and community support for whatever your Web3 needs. Today, we have an amazing guest, one of my favorites so far, Mike Gavella, the founders of CoinStack, at OG media outlet from the crypto space, one of the best doing it. I'm so excited to have him here. How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm doing great. That is the best intro. Like, I need that audio. I need to wake up to this intro.
That's going to be an alarm clock for you. So we got a pretty packed episode today. We're going to keep it loose, though. But first, I got to ask you, man, like the first thing that I want to know, because we actually didn't get into that. For the viewers, we met at ETH Denver. Mike just sat right across from me and was just crushing. And I'm like, I'm on the phone with someone and I'm like, who's this cool ass dude? When I get off the phone, I'm going to talk to him. And I'm like, I'm not the type of dude who really talks to anyone when I'm eating lunch. But Mike sat across from me and I was just like, this dude is chill. Let's talk. And he told me he was one of the founders of CoinStack. And I was like, dude, that's one of my favorite publications. Fucking go. And and so we just started chopping it up. It was one of the best conversations I had at ETH Denver. But I didn't actually get a chance to ask you, why did you start? What gave you the idea to start CoinStack? What was it? Is there some sort of magic moment? Or was it just like, okay, let's do it?
More like it's let's do it. So me and my co-founder, his name is Ryan Alice. Yeah. We've always just been in the tech scene. So seeing what's new, seeing what's cool. I actually got into Ethereum in 2016, 2015 for $14. So someone in the comments will correct me on when that happened. So go for it. I just remember it was like $15. And I sold it for $30 thinking I was a genius.
A 2x was, you know, if you're from TradFi or you just used to investing back then, a 2x was great. And it probably happened in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we have a very, very different like idea. We've been in crypto for so long that 2x is like, oh, now.
We're so spoiled. We're so spoiled
as fuck. Yeah.
Especially if you're like the one launching the coin, I feel like you just expect a 10x. You know, it's just like, it's such a weird space as far as like investing goes. And I know you deal with like a lot of institutional investors and people like that. So I guess I guess a good question would be like, what's your favorite part of crypto?
Honestly, the hype, like just the whole, everyone just rallies behind one thing. It's just like, okay, Ukraine is getting bombed. That's horrible. There's an election going down. This is horrible. But where are my bags? Where are my bags? Like, that's just the sentiment that just, like, is above all else. So just, I don't know. I got addicted to the crypto culture. We were talking offline earlier. It's a toxic relationship. And I'm here for it. So.
Yeah.
Love that you described it as a toxic relationship, because I definitely have, like, an abusive relationship with my portfolio, especially. Like,
I'm a battered wife. I'm a battered wife or a battered husband. Like, I'm.
Yeah, I feel
battered.
I got
two black eyes. Bruised. I got bruises, like, that are
but
hidden.
But I can't stop. I can't leave. Yeah.
No, it's the tiger mom just looking at her portfolio, just being like, why can't you be better? Like, every owner right now is just like, why can't you do better?
When you described it as an abusive relationship, I was like, oh shit, I can't quit this.
Once my portfolio hits I'm going to cash out just a little bit further. That's when I cash out.
So
like when I start saying that, that's when I have to, and I did it recently and it worked out.
For me, I everyone has their favorite on-chain metric. Everyone has like their favorite, like, you know, crypto Twitter sleuth telling them when we are and are in a bull or bear market. I know we're in a bull when I download the Mac app to see where the Bitcoin price is. And I know where it is 24/7, 365. If I don't have the Mac app for the Bitcoin price on my sidebar, we're not in a bull market yet.
Yeah. So where is it at right
that's
now?
Real.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet. We haven't downloaded it yet. So that's just.
So are we in like a lull within a current bear market, or are we not even touching the bear market at all yet?
If you actually look at, just zoom out to all cryptocurrencies and just the market cap, this is the first one where it's like a leg up, stop. A leg up, stop. Yeah. It's almost like a ladder effect. Where it's like the last two was just like a hyper, just firework up. And then just like, you know, China decided to just ban all Bitcoin. And then just one more up. And then just, and then 2017, same thing, just a hyper up. But if you look at like complete bottom to today, it's almost like a little ladder. And I feel that's like very correlated to institutional interest right now. So it's one of the more boring bulls, honestly.
Yeah, it's just it's like not really following the previous patterns. And I think that's honestly because of all of the like changing regulations in the US, but also like the ETFs and all of this stuff. It's just like it's like another cycle, but it's not quite a full bull run. It does not feel like a bull run.
It's starting to feel like
I'm like
it's starting to feel like the stock market, to be honest. There's a lot of like day traders and things like that pushing.
There's a lot of day traders, but there's always going to be day traders when there's stuff to trade.
Listen, there's some degens out there too. There's some degens trading Solana meme coins. They're having fun. And those markets don't even adhere to the overall crypto market.
They don't adhere to shit.
Nothing.
And did you hear what happened to Jelly Jelly? Someone just nuked Hyperliquid out. Well, not nuked them out, but, you know, they just exposed.
That's like the narrative right now, but I don't think I looked at the price action. They didn't nuke them out. Not Hyperliquid.
Right.
They're trying to do that thing they always do to projects. And it actually like fared pretty well. So I'm actually bullish on Hyperliquid because of this personally, but
same.
I don't know.
I feel good about Hyperliquid too, only because they're doing the thing that a bunch of projects wanted to do but didn't do, which was like
everyone's mad about it. They're so jealous. It's great seeing it on Twitter. They're not really decentralized. Yes, they are.
DYDX and like GMX, weren't they trying to do something similar?
They tried
for a while.
Yeah,
DYDX was doing okay for a while.
Yeah,
and then they moved their headquarters to New York City. I don't know. I don't know them personally. So, you know, we may have them on in the future. So I'm not going to talk shit because I really don't know too much about them. But I do remember they were trying to do something similar. And I do know that Hyperliquid, it didn't take VC money, which is freaking amazing. So that's why their chart doesn't look like, you know, some of the other ones that took it.
That's why people are mad about it, though, too, because they're like, they did the thing that a lot of people wanted to do, which was not take VC money, do just community.
I don't know how anyone pulls that off, to be honest.
Honestly, it's in one, probably their angels, but two, also I think like they really, really like cultivated a strong community.
I think it was Mike. I think Mike.
No,
I think
but also
Mike is
like
a $1 billion angel investor in Hyperliquid.
I would not be on this podcast if I was $1 billion angel investor, my friend. Love you to death.
You're in Dubai.
Yeah, I'd be in Dubai.
You'd be having your car.
People said that even if they didn't get that insane airdrop, they would still use Hyperliquid, even if they didn't get that.
I didn't get it because I'm a loser that doesn't get very many. You know what? I get a lot of airdrops, but they're not sizable.
That's when I know we're in a real bull run, when I start getting random airdrops and I'm like, yay. I think last time when we talked about with Justice, where it's like, oh, damn, I love this. I love waking up to more money.
So like we talked about like good and bad. So like, Mike, I got a question for you and it's kind of spicy, but we'll get to that section in a little bit later. But what is something about crypto that you can't stand?
I can't stand.
Or a couple things.
Let's see here. I guess the generic answer is bad actors, but I'm not going to say that. Yeah. I guess just how we'll call it ADHD the space can really be. Maybe 6 weeks ago, the narrative was Deepin. And then 6 weeks before that, it was AI agents. And now fast forward 12 weeks later to today, we're back to AI agents.
People, I think like also we have a limited amount of people in the space. And so we keep like fighting these narratives because it just depends on who's got the loudest voice at that time. So Deepin is like, yeah, I know it was like a big, big thing, but I don't think it's going away. I just think like right now it doesn't have the mind share. Like they're Deepin, always going to be a little bit competing.
Here's why Deepin hasn't worked, right?
Oh, why hasn't Deepin worked?
Because even Bitcoin doesn't have the perfect tokenomic structure.
Right.
No coin has executed a perfect tokenomic structure to not dump by giving out incentives. Like there's no way to do it really. So if you want to sustain Deepin project that's kicking back rewards, that's incentivizing people to do it, you got to oscillate between tokens, which is what Helium tried to do. Mm. And so that's why they launched mobile. They launched Helium. They launched Helium first, and then they started launching mobile, which is what they did. Then they moved to the Solana, or I think they moved to the Solana network before they launched mobile. And it's kind of like you got to constantly move to the next thing in order for that to sustain. But then you've got to add liquidity for a new token. You've got to take money out of
it's
the old.
Wild.
You got this just, I don't know. I'm interested to like, do you think we'll ever solve this?
So the funny part is that this is a technology that has a monetary value. So if you strip it from monetary value, how much interest would there be? And that's just kind of how I see the difference between Web 2 and Web 3. Web 3, yeah, it's, you know, it's siloed in the sense that each property, it's digital property. But with digital property comes monetary value. But if we were to strip that, how much interest would there really be? How many people would actually be in the space? And I feel like that's almost kind of the catch-22. Because, you know, we're all here to fill our bags. You know, we're not...
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. I am not a coder. I'm very much an advisor. I'm very much a marketer. Very much, you know, a journalist, I guess. But, you know, if the Ethereum token did not have a monetary value to it, I wouldn't be in it. That's why in 2016, when I sold my bags, I didn't know anything until 2020. That 4-year period was just nothing. Now I feel it's a lot different. Now you can swap your tokens, right? Now you can stake your tokens. But outside of NFTs, I haven't really found like a real use case for it. And I think it's because, again, the problem is monetary value. It's just a technology at the end of the day. And I feel like if we focus on it being a technology, then things get interesting. But if we strip that out and we're just like Michael Saylor getting 500,000 Bitcoin because we believe it's, you know, gold Jesus, and that's a different conversation.
I'm going to say, maybe I can't say it. I don't know.
I said gold Jesus, dude, so go for it. Like,
I love gold Jesus.
Yeah, because he's trying to say, like, this is the ultimate asset class that's been invented up until this point. Fight me. It's like, dude. I will. Fight you.
No, I will. I will fight him. I will fight him. There's some serious issues with what he's doing. Like, serious issues. One, the ethos of Bitcoin does not align with this whatsoever. So his whole, like, being Bitcoin, first of all, he's not Bitcoin Jesus because there's already a Bitcoin Jesus, and that Bitcoin Jesus is being locked in prison for the rest of his life because he didn't pay his fucking taxes, which they could easily solve by allowing him to pay his fucking taxes, add a 10% on top of it so they make a little bit more. Obviously, it's some sort of thing. Anyway, fuck Michael Saylor. Fuck what he's doing. It's bullshit. I fucking hate him, and I think that he should shut down what he's doing.
I enjoy Michael Saylor. May he do what he's doing. He is a capitalist, and I do not share the same. Just like putting that out there, we have two opposing views.
That's fine, and that's cool. That's cool. I won't hold it against you. I hope you won't hold it against me.
No. Go for it. You can shit on him. That's cool. I'm just gonna try to wipe, off just a little bit.
Just squeegee a little.
There's always gonna be that person though that like is so gung ho about an asset that they go too far. But oh, yeah. I think that he's going to continue to say
we've all done it
to a million till Bitcoin. And then when it gets there, he'd be like Bitcoin to 2 million, you know, and that's good for my bags. But, you know, I also understand like he has way too much of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a cypherpunk at heart, so it goes against kind of what I believe about the space. You know, I really am more more tech driven. The decentralization is important. I was on LimeWire, you know what I mean? I was on IMesh, you know, all of those things back in the day before, you know, we even started to incentivize the use cases.
Like layer of the internet, this financialized layer of the internet, when they were thinking up of the internet, the reason they didn't ship it out right away in the 60s was because they couldn't figure out the financial layer of the internet. And so this fixes a lot of the internet because they wanted to have like residuals go to people who are contributing to it. So I feel like crypto is like literally the continuation of like the internet's evolution.
Absolutely.
But like Bitcoin obviously was like the breakout, and it's the big one, and it's the most trusted, you know, sort of gold standard, we'll say. But I love that there's permissionless building. You could make a coin right now. You can make a new layer of financialization right now.
I just did. What? I just did.
And it's called F-Sailor. F-Sailor coin.
It's up there now. Go look at Photon, new token launches. There, F-Sailor.
So a friend of mine actually made Fuck Eep, and he did pretty well on it. So shout out to that community. Yeah,
that's great. We love the token zero utility garbage. It's dead now.
Zero utility.
But it was called Zug, and I wrote it up for like a 5x with like one soul. It wasn't crazy. It lasted overnight. I set it overnight, and I got a little 5x out of it. So I got 5 soul, but it was nothing crazy, but it was called zero utility garbage. And I was like, this is great. This is exactly what it is. Let's go. You know,
yeah. I remember that overnight sensation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, talking about kind of like the degenerate stuff that happens. I mean, I think it's interesting that, you know, Bitcoin originally was kind of identified as this dark asset, right? Which is kind of, and the media kind of took to that, and the government kind of took to that because, you know, the Silk Road used it and this, that, and the other. And
because people like
stuff.
Me were buying drugs on the internet.
Yeah. So what's ironic about that narrative that I don't think people think about, and we were talking about Web 2 versus Web 3, is the same exact thing happened in Web 2. The first purchases in the Web 2 ecosystem were porn. They were porn subscriptions and thing like that. So I think it's interesting how, like, when you attack the monetary system, how narratives change, right? Which is interesting. But anyway, we've dove into all the controversial and fun topics. Mike is probably regretting joining this podcast at this point. So we talked about how I don't like Michael Saylor and how you love him. Who is your favorite person in the crypto space?
Who am I?
Or a couple.
I'm going to kiss
Shilla Human.
Shilla Human. I love that. I'm going to butcher his name. Founder of Blockworks, Jason, honestly, just came out.
Jason from Blockworks?
Jason from Blockworks. Yeah, I'm going to keep it at that because I'm going to screw up the last name. I just know it.
Yeah, I know. His last name is like...
Yeah, super tall guy, by the way. That's like you don't really know that until like you see him in person. So
there's like a strange cabal of tall people in crypto.
There
you
really
don't
are.
Know that.
We have a client that's very, very tall. It was like it was shocking. I'm like, way to go, man. Good genes. I've always wanted to be a tall person because I lived in a family of tall people. And business having a presence in the room. I am so lucky that we do things online now because I am not tall.
Wait, so going back to Jason, what do you like about Jason at Blockworks? Because I was
besides his height,
besides his very impressive height. What's up with Jason? Because I like that guy too. I follow him on Twitter, and I think he has a lot of good insights. So yeah, why is he one of your favorites in the space?
Just being in the space for a couple of years and, you know, going to his events and just, you know, going through his Twitter tweets and following him. One of the very few people who it is what you get. He's very much who you see who he is online is who you see who he is in person and who you see who he is in events. It's very much like not there aren't that many people who are that transparent and who are that bullish on whatever they believe in, what conviction they have. And yeah, it's like, I just admire like his character and also great alpha.
Yeah. The great yeah, alpha awesome. Is a really good thing.
Yeah.
No, I that's really reassuring because I really like the stuff he says on his Twitter, and I've been following him for a minute. So to know that I haven't met him in person, so to know that he's like who he is in real life, like that's nice.
So in regards to transparency, he forces all of his employees to do a transparency page on all of our holdings on $5,000 plus. So if you want to follow Jason's bags, just go to blockworks.com. There's some /transparency, and there you go.
Love that. I love that.
That is great. No. That's some great alpha, beta, and zeta right there.
I like him as a human. Who else do I like? I like Sailor just because he's just gung-ho. Like, this is what I believe, this is what I stand for, and, you know.
I respect that.
Let me jump in. I do respect that because I'm similar in that regard. Yeah. That's cool.
Well, maybe let's go on the less degen side, and I want to talk a little bit, since CoinStack is more on the institutional side, maybe talk a little bit about these ETFs, because there's some ETFs that may be coming down the pipeline. Are there any that you think are either cool or ridiculous? Because there's like people are proposing these ETFs coming down, and some of them I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I think Pengu was one, and I was like, okay.
Wow,
like,
I didn't know that.
That was weird, they're also thinking about like different traits for the penguins and stuff like that. And I thought that one was a little strange personally, but is there any sort of like proposed ETFs or anything in the ETF pipeline that you're like, huh, okay, I can definitely see that becoming a thing and popular in adoption?
So at first it was with Sui. So like last week they announced the Sui for Sui ETF. And, yeah, you know, as a degen, I'm like, yeah, you got the correct coin up there and all that. But I think of like the guy in his mid-60s going to like, you know, his like polo cup, just being like, oh, finally, I can buy Sui. Like, no, that is not what he's thinking. Like, finally, another layer one. Just like... I don't know. I kind of feel like right now, yes, Bitcoin and ETH and Solana, like they should have ETFs, but these more exotic ones are just like, okay, who's really pushing this?
Bag holders, maybe.
So it's like the ETF, who's buying them? Hedge funds, institutions, all of that. It's not the guy in his mid-60s at the polo club. And like that's we were supposed to be protecting, right? Like, these ETFs will be like, hey, we did our research and all that. And then you have Pengu. It's like, okay. Okay.
The Pengu one, yeah. And then they went into the details of the traits that would be, like, desirable. And I was just like...
Wait, there's traits for individual ETFs? So that what were they? They were going to launch a basket
like
of assets?
It's a different type of ETF because it's attached to an NFT project. So they were just talking about different traits that may be more... desirable because of their rarity, which is like I'm sorry, it's kind of funny to me. I'm not hating, but I think it's fucking hilarious because it's so absurd. I'm like, how are the institutions are going to be looking at pictures of penguins with traits and going 2% rarity, not rare enough,
2% of my bags, there we go.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
But yeah,
I got Pengu.
It's the holders. Holders are pushing it. The holders are pushing it, and that's fine. And we'll see if it gets adopted. We'll see if it gets, you know, if anyone's going to buy that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know for institutional adoption. Like, man, this space keeps being unserious.
It's part of the culture. Not going to lie to you. But there's always, like, you know, some layer of truth to it. I'm just glad that we have, you know, Bitcoin ETF and ETH ETF, Sol ETF, and you know what? This is America, so you have every right to buy a Pengu ETF, and I'm glad we have that option.
Yeah. Yeah, in the end, it is better for people who have these assets and have access to them, but yes, finally, Sui, finally.
I was excited to hear about Sui.
Full disclosure, I am a bag holder of Sui, so obviously I'm successful.
Dude, walrus. That's the number one. If you really want to, like, 5X your bags, 10X your bags, walrus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I met them at ETH Denver. They're doing an interesting thing. They're like the Filecoin of Sui. That's cool.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Little alpha on the pod. Not so bad. Usually we just talk shit, but that's cool too.
I was on the institutional side, so either we're making money or we're not. So it's just like, yeah. Hey guys, love you, but you know, I was over here.
Do you see more institutional adoption now that regulation's kind of like been laxer, or are they not excited yet because prices aren't so, I don't know, desirable?
Are they more excited because prices?
Right. Or are they like sale time?
Exactly. I mean, you look at charts, just not even just from what I'm saying, but just looking at charts. Barely one's buying your bags. They're taking, like, you know, sailor's approach. If each Bitcoin is worth $13 million, I mean, this is a fire sale, right? But even if, just, if you zoom out and look at charts, it's like, okay, we're now below 90K. Just the sheer momentum of this thing, it doesn't take, you know, a genius to see. This is even a good 10-15% on what, a $10 million portfolio? Yeah, why not? It's kind of like the mindset of like an institution versus like a retail. Like, you know, you and I will put in what, a couple $100 on something, add it up to 5X and call it a day. For them, they don't need the 5X. They need, you know, 10%, 15%, 20%, something that's just keeping pace with inflation, if not a little bit better. And it doesn't take that much more to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So for them, 88K is great. 90K is great. Crap. Even 120K is great. If by the end of the day it goes to 130, 140, 150, we're good. You and I are crying because, you know, our $1,000 portfolio won't turn into $5 million. But
yeah,
they don't need those gains. They just want to keep up.
Is it the same in the US as it is globally? Like, are there other big countries just sort of like looking at these assets and salivating at the mouth, or is it just sort of like the US kind of focusing on it now because of the laxer regulations?
So I know Asia loves crypto way more than anywhere else in part of the world, especially in Hong Kong. They're doing like a lot of regulation to really just push, make things easier for retail institutions to hop in. Specifically in Korea, I was at ETH Denver. And it was Coin Fund's event. I was the founder of Move. The protocol escapes the name, but the point is that they focused all of their marketing in South Korea. And because they did that, they built like a phenomenal community and fan base that when they actually launched the token, it just skyrocketed. I don't remember the protocol. It was Move Base. I think it was Sai, S-E-I, maybe. I could be wrong.
Say, yeah.
Yeah.
We had them on a couple weeks ago. They're awesome.
Yeah. Point is, like, Asia loves crypto. Asia's always been in love with crypto. And it just really opened my eyes to see, like, okay, this is a global phenomenon. And whether I agree with, like, your Move-based token or not, you have a loyal fan base. And they are pumping these bags. And that is something not to trifle with.
I'm really glad you brought Move up because they had that controversy and that broke before Korea got up. Where they had like this market maker potentially like doing some funny stuff, and then they're like, oh, sorry, this market maker like really messed us up, but we're gonna buy back, you know, and use our own funds and all this other stuff, blah 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 blah. I don't know if you saw that happen recently, but I was like, what's Korea gonna say when they wake up and see this? Because they did take the time to build a really strong community in Asia. That was like their big.
It's not like they made it right, though.
Yeah, some people are still sketched out, though. They're like, oh, this was all part of the plan, or like you're colluding with the market makers. And I'm like, I don't know. They're trying to make it right. Whatever happened, like they're trying. They're trying to make it right at the very least. But yeah, what did you think of that whole Move situation? Did you know about all of, did you watch all of that?
I know headlines. I don't know much about it. But like you said, it's like anything else in crypto. There's always someone getting attacked, someone FUD, someone. We're a very violent community. It's kind of funny. It's just like someone's getting the end of this stick.
Really is. Like, it really is. Yeah. So, interesting guy that I met at ETH Denver. He's launching a pump.fun that you fund with Monero and it converts to Solana so that the meme coin launchers don't know the identity of whoever's launching it and can't dox them and can't figure it out so that they're not murdered. It says it in the white paper. That's so nice. That they're not murdered. I thought that was one of the more interesting projects. I don't know that it's going to be used for good, but I thought it was hilarious.
And I think what our guest last week said was, anonymous transactions and anonymity is like one of those things that if you're trying to do something disruptive, it's better if you're anonymous so that you can actually do the thing instead of get a knock on your door from the FBI in the middle of you trying to do that thing. So maybe.
Namely things like Tornado Cash, which actually have legitimate use cases.
Yeah. Is back on, baby. We back on with Tornado Cash. Yeah,
they're back on.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, yes, they are. That's cool. That's good.
I'm glad about that.
So I think we're to that point where we jump into a really important part of the show. And we've done a lot of spiciness. All right. But this is the section where you've got to come with some hot flames.
Habanero hot flames. Baja blast us into another horizon.
Yeah.
All right.
What is your spiciest take on crypto right now, Mike?
What is my spiciest take on crypto right now?
Spicy, like
jeez. Oh, you want to
what's gonna piss everyone off?
Like Mexican pizza, spicy. Let's go.
Oh, jeez. All right, we're gonna offend a lot of people here.
Do it.
About 2 or 3 years ago, Arthur Hayes wrote a very long blog post on how basically Doge is going to be the next monetary. Like you know, it's like the U.S. dollar is the monetary standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hopped on that train. I'm like, you know what? Doge is probably going to be the next monetary standard for the entire international community. The U.S. dollar will crumble the Doge. And I was on that like train for about a year or two. And the reason for it was because it was the only, outside of Bitcoin. Well, actually, no, Bitcoin had an immaculate conception. No one knows who Satoshi is. Fine. But besides that, it's the only meme coin, at least back then, 2-3 years ago. Had enough of a backing that everyone could agree on. So
that's good.
Yeah. So there is a part of me that has a nice Doge bag just in case it becomes like the entire monetary unit of just this is what we're all going to agree by. And also think about Bitcoin. Do I really think that like, you know, I want to buy a Baja Blast for 1/9 of like a Bitcoin?
1/9 of a Bitcoin.
No.
You're right, though. That's actually a really good point because, like, the Bitcoin is the store of value and the Doge would be the exchange, like, the actual exchange of that value in a quick way, the way that Litecoin was supposed to be. But
exactly.
Yeah. And no, that's facts.
No, my Baja Blast is only 75 cents of Doge. Great. And honestly, it almost puts, like, the entire international market to perspective. You know, right now, like, my dollar is, like, 2 to 3 times more powerful in Asia. But my Doge is my Doge. So, like, you know, like, a Baja Blast in, you know, Asia is still 50 cents no matter where I go.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. I love that. Yeah. It's still the same amount of money no matter where you go when it's in a currency that transcends borders.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, that fear has gone out the wayside because of Elon Musk. But, hey, you never know.
Yeah.
He's kind of just adopted it as his coin at this point, but.
Yeah,
I need another scenario. Tweet blast. Yeah. Need another SNL moment. Thick. Okay, yeah, I feel like that's pretty controversial, but also, I can like I put the pieces together quickly and saw it. So, yeah, you're probably gonna piss some people off.
What Mike is saying is that Doge is the real Bitcoin.
Doge is the real Bitcoin. Bitcoin
the
Doge,
Doge
the real Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Go on this podcast for 56 minutes just to hear the last 2 minutes of just nothing. Quoting an article from 3 years ago.
That's awesome. Arthur Hayes is definitely one of those very controversial, but very, very interesting. You know, I agree with some of the things he says wholeheartedly, and then others I tend I don't agree with.
I'll listen to anything he says. So though. I'll still listen to. I'm like, all right, I'm all ears on whatever you got to say, and if it's out of this world, okay, that's one of those ones that I didn't really like. I mean, I think until we just had this convo right now that I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. Now I understand. Doge is Litecoin, what Litecoin wanted to be.
Correct. Maybe.
So, okay. With that, I think we're going to close out the show. Mike, it has been an absolute pleasure, as always, getting to chat with you. We'll make sure to put a disclaimer that you love Michael Saylor. I will allow it.
Hey, if he tweets me back, man, we can get him on the show.
Love it to have him.
Maybe I'll change my mind. Maybe he can convince me. Maybe he can convince me to change my mind.
If he can convince the nation state to buy Bitcoin, he should be able to convince you to not like him as fiercely.
I think the only reason the Michael Saylor is a little precarious in this space is because of the volume of Bitcoin that
he holds.
That makes everyone a little bit nervous.
It's like a video game. He has a video game number of Bitcoin. Tell me not.
He's run over enough mushrooms to get all of his Bitcoin or whatever he had to do, punch some bricks.
And with that, you can follow Mike G at CoinStack. Thank you guys for joining. We appreciate you guys. Love you all. Peace.
Thank you.